recognize these golden line sneakers?
Yes. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I do remember what I did, and then you show me this, and now I'm confused.
Who did you meet before you had this gap of memory?
I think it was Nat.
What do we need to know about this, Nat?
Time came for us to part ways, and he doesn't quite want to accept that. He even got a separate apartment. Yes, I have seen him there once or twice.
Where is that apartment?
Okay, let me scribble down the address.
I'm thinking this Nat is a blank body.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that feeling as well. And what do you suggest we do?
Right now, you need to sleep.
Agreed.
Now there you are. Come get me. Come get me, you fucker. You anarch scum.
This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
Slumber takes the mortals of the team deep, deep into rest. It's been so long. And finally things have eased up enough to close eyes, pop that pill, swallow a small sip from the plastic cup. Paul lies down on the plastic sheet bedding on one of the cells and drifts off. Francis, already snoring, curled up in a fetal position on his own bed, in his own cell. So none of them notices the Channel 4 news report out in the lobby, where one of the Marines is watching intently as a Channel 4 special news bulletin comes in.
Bloody Tuesday, 7 more violent incident in cordon clubs make Tuesday the 14th the most dangerous night in recent London history. Metropolitan Police claims aftershock of violent anti-globalist protests as contributing reason. Channel 4 can reveal links to debated anti-terrorist shootings as hidden cause of local unrest.
The series of violent incidents that are reported flashes by quickly. I don't even have time to go into them deeply. That's how many they are. A double murder at a sports goods store. A shooting on the dance floor of the famous gay club Triple X. Owner of sex shop found dead in Croydon Flat. A known male prostitute beaten to death. Police brutality suspected. Routine inspection of health store ends in stabbing of police officer after accidental shooting. Exotic dancer found, victim of acute blood loss. Police suspects sex trade gone wrong. As if time stands still. Only the reflection of light in blood, a smell of it, the heady, light, almost flowery, powerful smell. The emotion of muscles, the groaning of bones, as the strong suspect, Gilberts, is held down. The blood is no more than a hand's width away from your face. As you caress his head, holding it, trying to prevent it from banging, banging, banging. What goes on in you is not quite human. The fangs are out, tongue stretches out. The guard looks squarely into your eyes. He doesn't quite understand what's about to happen. He hasn't been part of the investigation long enough to truly understand what is happening in front of him, but you do. Your entire being tells you it's feeding time. But what do you compel your entire being.
I want to resist.
Try to pull out of it. Tooth, claw, will. What kind of images or thoughts do you try to summon up to tear you away from what your entire being wants?
I think one of my touchstones is always protect your unit, and I just can't bear to explain that I killed another person while fucking up things for my family, for my unit. And I think what I see is the concerned faces of Paul and Francis and the hurt that they will feel. And it's the same kind of feeling as when I fled from the car with Sarah, that I can't bear to fuck this up. It's more worth than anything for me to keep this trust. And I also think that the voice is kind of could snap me out of it a bit, because that is not him, that is not a human voice, that is something else. So it could also act as a trigger of actually getting some kind of control. But I will leave that up to you. But that is, I think that is my strongest motivation not to give after, actually.
All of those times you came too late, all of those times you fucked shit up, it's not gonna happen again. Almost flashing forward the time you can see yourself dragged into a police vehicle, the internal investigations team, those drawly old women and their blank-faced cohorts laughing, sniggering at Paul as the whole thing shuts down. It can't happen. It must not happen. Your humanity is recalled through principle more than emotion. The mind rules emotion. But is it enough? I would like you to go for your composure and resolve again, adding a dice for invoking your touchstone.
6 successes, including a messy crit.
If the guard recently drafted from the Royal Marines was unaware previously of the reality of the bio threat that he's supposed to combat, now is the time when he realizes its reality, because what you do makes it perfectly clear to him that you are no longer an ordinary vice cop, but something completely else. So you manage to resist feeding, but you do it in such a manner that it becomes indiscreet, to say the least. So what do you think happens?
One thing that will happen is that I, from this strong will to restrain myself from fucking things up, actually uses my obfuscate for the first time to kind of get him out of my sight and then like turn into a corner and shadows and not be seen.
Later in the sergeant's report, he states the following. Everything happened in less than a split second. I'm not sure how to explain this, but suddenly he was up against the wall, motionless, dragging down unconscious, the blood splatter on the wall, and Ellis was gone. Just completely gone. And the whole room was silent. I snapped to attention. I jumped down. I tried to cover the wounds as well as I could. I applied first aid. I got the bleeding under control. Blood on the table was still dripping. And I could swear that I could hear Alice somewhere swearing under her breath. I could swear it. She was still in the room. I'm not crazy. She was still in the room. He looks around. His instinct has taken over. He's supplying first aid. But he looks up as you mutter under your breath. He can almost see you. What the hell? Why can't he see you? He looks straight at you, then past you, and then continues.
he fumbles after his radio. Code purple! Code purple! Medical attention needed! Suspect down! In interrogation room! Stat! There's the running of feet. A bang as the door is thrown open and two more of the Marines come in. Both throw themselves to their knees, look at the wounds, trying to assist. And one of them stands up. They are diverted, their attention gone, the door is open. What do you do?
Oh God. I think I went into that dark corner and just curled up. And I actually think I stayed there. I think to keep that kind of... There's still blood in the room, and I just wanna be still, unseen, and I can't really bear it, so I don't think I will try to leave. And I think I have this notion that they can't see me, but if I move, they might, so I will just stay here until it goes away, until I have control again. So I will be in my corner until everybody's gone, I think, or I have more control of myself.
There's only one animal impulse stronger than the urge to feed, and that is self-preservation. Maybe that's what happened, because it's not quite you that retreated. It's the thing that protected you. Its vessel. And now it's there, lurking in the corner, smelling the rich, rich aroma of its prey. Yeah, we need to get him to hospital. Somebody wake up Dr. Ward. There's a loud banging on your door, Francis. You've hardly managed to go to sleep, but you're ripped from a dream.
What was the dream?
Yeah, what was the dream? There's an emptiness, maybe an echo. Is that screaming or barking?
Dr. Ward! Dr. Ward!
I sit bolt upright. I went to sleep in my clothing and I just sort of blink, grab my glasses. Yes! What?
Joshua, one of the Marines, stares straight in your face. We have a situation. The suspect, he's hurt himself. He needs to get to a hospital. I believe concussion.
Oh.
Yeah, this way.
All right. You know, we really are going to need to get some other medical staff around here. I can't be expected to attend to every cut and scrape. What do you mean hurt himself? Paul and Ellis were with him. What's going on?
You can see one of Joshua's colleagues banging at Paul's door to no avail. It doesn't seem that Paul is up on his feet. Come down, it's easier you see than explain.
All right, quickly.
He runs down, grabbing a first aid kit, one of these green boxes from the wall, ripping it off and running down in front of you. The door is open, and... you can see the other two on the floor, one of them holding one of these breathing aids, pumping oxygen into the patient's mouth, because he is a patient now, bloody, bruised. There's blood on the wall, there's blood on the metal table, there's blood all over his face, and he is motionless. That is not a good sign.
I am surprised. I have no idea how the situation has even got to this point. I do a quick look around the room. Ugh! Get him to our medical area now. We don't have time to take him to a hospital, and considering his condition, I will sort this, but get him move him quickly, get a stretcher in here.
Yeah, you hear the banging outside where, yeah, one of the fourth guard comes, drags down the stretcher from your experiment area and bio lab. It bangs against the stairs, and he has to turn it diagonally and shove it in through the door. And then you realize Ellis is no longer in the room.
Where is Ellis, Sergeant Ellis? Where's Paul, even?
Yeah, Paul signed out. Ellis? Yeah, Gabe, where's Ellis? You were there last in the room. While you're speaking, the suspect is being bedded down into the on the stretcher. A blanket put on top of him to prevent further shock. Gabe looks up. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry, sir. I must have been in shock. She was there one moment, and then she was not.
What? She can't be unsupervised. You do understand that. Lock down the facility immediately. No one's leaving. No one gets out. We'll deal with this here, and just get him to my lab now. I'll sort this out. And I immediately kind of am dismissive to then all these security guards as I focus on the patient, keeping him stable to hopefully get him to our medical area. And I'm going to have to try and sort him out here. We can't have him leaving, and we can't have the base open because I have no idea where Ellis is. And if she's gone off on something, we can't risk her being unsupervised.
Gabe, making himself useful, runs outside and punches one of the newly installed alarm buttons. A silent alarm goes off. All of your phones instantly receive a message. Core in the lockdown. Access restricted to bioscans. There's no noise, no blaring sound, no voice screaming out over PAs, but the panic is visible in the twitchy movements of the guards as they help you shove the stretcher out through the door. As you stand in there, smell something. Is it perfume? Is it faint taste of liquor? I would like you to roll awareness plus intelligence.
Two successes.
You think the smell goes out? Is that... No, it must be nothing. Concentrate on the patient. Concentrate on the task at hand. You bundle him off, start carrying up the stairs. He is breathing. The breathing assistance he's been getting has worked. His chest rises and falls, albeit weakly.
As we're moving, I will be quizzing the guard who was in the room to quickly find out what has actually happened. How did the patient get these injuries? What's going on? So I can quickly assess what to do next.
Yeah, I was distracted by the... I mean, it was all so sudden. He started hurting himself violently. I've seen it before, but never with a, you know, suspect like this off the street. This is some... You could believe that he was trained in... I don't know. He started banging his head violently against the surface of the table until he was unconscious.
I see. This is largely damaged, self-imposed. Okay, interesting.
Yes. What else are you implying?
Well, I don't know. I've just woken up and found one of our suspects in a fatal condition, man. Now, calm down.
Hey, it wasn't me. Why would I hurt him? Whatever reason would I have to hurt a suspect?
If you're going to act like this, I immediately just give him a look like, you can go. Get out of here. Go.
He walks. He doesn't get more than 3-4 steps. Then he puts his back against the wall and slides down slowly with his face covered in his hands.
I have immediately moved on. I have no time for sympathy. There's a man's life in danger here. I don't have time for a guard losing his shit and I just sort of look sternly at the other people with me and get him into that medical bay.
The doors bang as the stretcher barges into them, into the room filled with your medical equipment, your tests, your breakthroughs, all of that precious data. All of them. It hasn't been an active med bay for some time, but now it seems to be the time to break out that big crate of acute medical equipment, maybe even blood transfusion. There was a lot of blood on the floor.
Yes, initially there's a little clumsiness to this because I immediately am used to having nurses, doctors ready by my side, and I've just got these security people looking at me, so I kind of do a mental, okay, think medical school. My main concern will be blood transfusion for the loss of blood, and also, of course, expecting heavy concussion. So doing everything I can to assist with that, so at least he's stable and doesn't lose consciousness.
Gently but firmly putting him on the side and inflating a pillow that surrounds most of his head should protect the head from further injury. The question is whether there's been any fractures in the skull itself. Feeling gently, you feel the sickening feeling of something moving under the skin. Shit, yeah, he's got a fracture. He's got a skull fracture. Medical plus wits in quickly assessing.
Three successes.
His condition is indeed life-threatening. You see he's got multiple concussions and a fracture to the front right side of the skull. Slight break above his curved eyebrows. The blood loss is not what is going to kill him. The potential after effects of the concussion is. Your immediate assessment is that he needs to get to a proper hospital with proper care, and he needs to get a brain scan and need to be taken care of by a full hospital within 6 hours, or there's risk for permanent brain injury.
Well, okay, 6 hours. 6 hours. I do what I can to stabilize him as best as possible, because we can't send him right away, because we have no idea where Gabriel is, and we cannot unleash the lockdown until it is sorted. So I sort of say to the guards, begin searching everywhere. Now you need to find Ellis and get her accounted for before we can get this man out of here.
Affirmative, sir. Walkie-talkies come up the faces, like, we got a code black, possible blank body on loose within the facilities. Look for Sergeant Ellis. All posts report in. There's scratches and mumbled voices as the external guard posts report in, having seen nothing. Same thing internally. Okay, two pairs, floor by floor. On me. Joshua is out, taking initiative. You see teams start to expertly sweep the doors, kicking down, opening every single cell, looking everywhere, moving from the basement, fanning out into conference rooms, up the stairs. The efficiency is almost machine-like in its quality.
At one point, after perhaps, let's say, 10 minutes and still thinking there's no result, I will say someone, wait, doesn't the interrogation room have cameras? Check the security systems!
Gabe gets up. Something useful he can do. He sniffles, wiping away moisture from his face, then bending down over one of the rugged laptops outside. All right, I have the feed here. It's remarkably clear. The quality of the cameras is stellar. You're still in the room. He fast forwards with a touch to one of the arrow keys. Fast forwarding. And you see yourself exit. Time passing. The suspect seems emotional. Alice is the lead on this. And then Paul Jones exits the room. For a moment they're alone with each other, then... And Gabe enters.
I want...
And all hell breaks loose. You witness the situation from a 45 degree angle above, so it's hard to see the facial expressions. It seems like Ellis is trying to help, successfully doing so, holding his face still, and then is shoving him. There's a slight scratch in the tape, as if the camera is violently shook by the impact. Ellis is still there, standing there, then recoiling into a corner, into a fetal position. Huh? He's just lying there. Forward. You see yourself come into the room. She's still in the corner.
Hospital, and considering his condition...
How could you have missed her? Forward. Yeah, the stretcher comes in, bundle him up, out. Ellis, while all this is happening, have you recovered from your primal hiding place in the shadows, or are you still there?
Yes, when they leave the room and everything goes quiet, I think I dare to move again.
You move. And the smell of the blood is so strong.
Oh, yeah.
It's just lying there. Wasted. Must be a quarter of a gallon. The viscosity of it makes the pools stretch out slowly towards you as you get to your feet.
I'm not a monster. I don't want to drink that. I don't want to go down on my knees and drink that. That would be... They would be right. I'm not a monster. I don't drink that way.
Yeah, and the beast agrees.
Yes.
You would put yourself at risk. You could kill what is in you growing. Then your phone buzzes. And the lockdown order comes in. Shit! The door is open, though, still, to the cell. You can see... Yeah, here, Francis is gone. He must be somewhere in the stairwell or something. You can hear the banging of the stretcher still.
What does the lockdown mean? Is every door locked?
Yes, every external door is locked, and all doors that were closed go into the locked position and needs to be opened with a code and a thumbprint scan.
I mean, I could just stay hidden until they lift the lockdown. That is a thought, that is a real thought, and it's... I am a danger to them. Maybe I should leave, maybe I should... not be their problem anymore. It's so tempting. And I take one step to get out from that blood. And I start going slowly towards the door.
You see outside the door, there's Gabe. He's sitting with his back towards the wall, face in hands. He's the only one in the hallway, two stairwells up.
One part of me wants to be found, and one part of me wants to be gone.
The other doors on this floor leads to the other interrogation room, or the morgue, as it is more known among the guards, where Chavera is The other door leads towards the conference room. And then the two stairwells.
I will go. Can I pass Scape without him noticing me?
He's hulking, crying. He thinks no one sees him. His mouth is moving. He's repeating some sort of mantra to himself. Then he starts... He starts box breathing. His professional reflexes kicking in. He's still covering his eyes. Box breathing silently. He's probably going to come to within minutes, but right now he's not in a state to see you.
Okay, one part of me wants to help him, but the other part of me wants to get gone, and I will take this opportunity to sneak. I think maybe I will go towards the morgue. Yes, I will go towards the morgue.
Code lock. No, your code does not work, nor does your fingerprint. You're locked out.
Then I will... Oh, fuck it, I'm gonna do. Where's Paul? I need to talk to Paul or Francis. Or just stay hidden. I don't know. Shit. Fuck.
Yeah, there's a couple of cupboards in the hall here and the equipment crates. And there's some evidence bags. Plenty of places to hide.
Yes, just only for a while. It's daytime, so everything is it's so hard to think.
Everything up those stairs is so bright that it's hard to make out the details.
No, I'm just gonna sit down here for a while, where no one can see me, and wait, and I'm gonna talk to them, and everything's gonna be all right. But I got away from the blood, and I didn't do anything monstrous. I just need a break. I just need a pause.
Yeah, there's blood on your hands.
Shit.
There's blood on your hands.
Yeah. Nobody sees me now, so maybe I can lick it off. Oh, God. Who am I? I'm not a monster. But I do it anyway.
The taste is unlike... any of the other tastes of blood you have sampled so far in your condition. It kicks instantly with a wild abandon, with a wild joie de vivre, a lust for life, and there's a flash of a smile, the flash of a camera, your own face in the mirror. Sadness pushed away, will stronger than anything. You would do anything for this man. How can his blood be so perfect?
There is more of that if I go back to the room.
Yes, but now Francis is on his way down the stairs. Francis comes down, two guards after him. There's motion. Fuck.
She should still be in here? No?
Did you look forward? She... Fuck. This is 4 minutes ago. She exits the room. And the camera loses her. Okay, flip to the hallway cameras. She, right here. He pushes the touch screen and... there, she's crawling off right behind those crates, and you catch up, and you're live, and she's still there, on the screen, in this room.
But can I actually see her with my own eyes?
Turn around, looking where she should be, behind the two light blue evidence bags filled with clothes and debris from the Selhurst train bombing. And there's... like that, those splinters. You must have overlooked them. They look really interesting. You...
She's there. She's there. She's right there. She's right there.
Almost looking like one of the plastic bags. That must have been what confused you. Her jacket is dark blue, but in the bright light it must have. Or she's there. She's right there. It seems that Gabe can't see her.
I'm confused a little. I'm not entirely sure what is going on. Is this just Gabe just panicked and everyone panicked? But then even I went in there earlier and she seemed to have completely evaded everyone.
Francis, you saw the footage of you being in the room looking straight at her. And then she crawled out. And now she's here. She's definitely there.
Behind the bags, exactly where she was. But it took too long. It was too hard.
I will look forwards and just say, Ellis?
I'm not a monster.
Sergeant Gabriel Ellis, just stand up. Make yourself known, please.
Gabe snaps his AR-14 to his shoulder, shoving it hard, leaning himself forward, ready to fire, flicking off the switch.
I'm not a monster.
Ready to incapacitate, sir?
Francis, don't shoot.
No. No need for that. Put your gun down, Gabe.
Yes, sir. He retracts, pulls safety off. Holds the rifle in ready position, backs off two steps, sneering.
I come out with my hands visible.
Keep him there! No sudden movements!
I look at Francis, not at him.
Ellis?
I didn't do anything.
I believe you. The footage suggests that you didn't do anything. But why did you run into a corner of the room to hide and then try and sneak around like this? You've set us all a little on edge.
I'm sorry. Can we sit down somewhere so I can talk about what happened? There was another one in the room, Francis. In his voice. It freaked me out.
I see. Alright. I am starting to calm down a little because now I can see Ellis. I feel I'm more used to her presence now than some of these security guards. Alright, Ellis, what we'll do is I want you to let these two accompany you back to your quarters. I need to get the suspect to hospital now. And then we talk.
Yes.
And where the hell is Paul?
He's sleeping.
Ugh. Wonderful. All right. The lockdown, I say to the guards. Release the lockdown. Escort her normally to her quarters. I'm going to go and send Mr. Gilbert to hospital now. He needs urgent medical attention. He needs to go to a secure police hospital. And immediately be transferred back here as soon as possible. You understand?
I understand. Well, police hospital, you say? So, Metro Police Hospital.
Yes.
Good. There. I will see which ones are within driving range.
Use protocol 47. This is a suspect. We suspect could be a high-profile target, perhaps. So I want subtlety. I want him quickly in a hospital and quickly back. Subtle, but with guards. You understand the protocol.
Gotcha. Sir, I need your countersign to lower the lockdown.
Oh,
he has entered his code by the code lock. And gestures to you with his with an open palm. Yeah, go for it.
I quickly do my countersignature.
And there's a beep in your phone as lockdown is released. You can hear a sharp clangs of magnetic locks opening all over. There's still banging in your dream, Paul. This banging, it's a basket game, you think. You're on the basket court with your kids.
great, but someone's calling you on the phone. It's father-in-law is calling you all the time in the middle of the game. This is a critical game. Deep, lost in somewhere half between wakefulness and sleep. As you finally, slowly, drowsily open your eyes, hearing banging on the door. Paul, you're awake, but you're drowsy. You're down 2 dice on everything right now.
I try to center my thoughts and listen. Who is that? What is that voice?
Sir, wake up, sir. We have a situation, sir. Sir, I think you should be briefed urgently. I'm sorry if I'm disturbing you, but wake the fuck up, Paul.
I feel like my I don't know how to move my mouth. I stand up and I go over to the door, just wearing my boxers and a t-shirt, and I unlock the door and I open it. What?
Yeah, you see one of the Royal Marines, and behind her a clear-eyed Anna Kitwara with a laptop. She looks you up and down, you standing there in your boxers. Yeah, she turns away a little bit and pretends to focus on something on her computer. A slight smile starting to spread over her face together with her blush. And then she just looks back straight at you. Sir, we had lockdown, Ellis was gone, and you should look at Channel 4. Sir, I'm sorry. It just can't wait.
Can I... I'll not finish that sentence as I go and take on my trousers.
Just get to the briefing room as soon as you can, sir. Sam, listen, the situation is under control, but you need to be up and ready within the hour, or half an hour. Yeah, whenever you can. Paul.
I, groan as I get my clothes on, and I have to stable myself and sit down several times as I go about this, and I'm not sure what to make of myself or anything at this point.
Anna has moved down the stairs, leaving you with the guard. He enters the room. Sir, you need help waking up? Coffee? Something stronger?
Yeah. Yeah, get me a coffee.
Yeah, he slaps down some sort of metal packaging on the table and goes outside to grab a coffee. Seems to be some sort of pills on the table.
I take them. I don't...
Yeah, it's Adderall. You recognize them from Afghanistan. It's Adderall Classic Go pills.
I don't know if I need this. I don't know what the situation actually is. They want me to watch the tape. I assume, of course, it's something very grave. But something in me just keeps me from just downing them.
Yeah, and have you ever done any sort of illegal drugs, Paul? Is that even within your scope of reference or your life? Was it anything you did during your war years, sir?
I have, but it's mostly been things related to my sleep problems or anxiety problems, things that I've been passed around in the circles of veterans where the similar problems exist.
Yeah, it's the sleeping pills of the kind you've taken now, like benzos, things like that. You're quite used to them, so... You should be able to kick this without the Adderall. That should be fine. You're used to this. It would be your initial reaction, at least.
Yeah. So I pocket them and I Take a deep breath and, okay, start marching down the corridor, trying to, if nothing else, but for appearance, to look as I'm there.
As you pass out, a stretcher is being driven out into the open foyer. In the bright afternoon sunlight, the body of... Body? Is he alive? He's breathing. The suspect is there, on a stretcher, being driven out by three of the guards, including Gabe, who's looking pale. He's bleeding, but looking stable. You can hear Francis' voice from downstairs. He sounds agitated.
This sort of shakes me awake in a bit, and as they drive the stretcher by, I pick up the pace and I try to glance over, and I'm looking for injuries on his throat at this time.
Look down. Yeah, what goes through your mind is not hard to guess for the others. No, she didn't hurt him. Actually, the other way around. She intervened.
Right. Yeah, get going.
He looks in bad shape, but still, that sentence from the Marine, that felt good. She's downstairs with Francis. You can hear her voice too. She's being escorted up the stairs as you come down towards them.
I hurry down to meet her.
Yeah, halfway the stairs you meet her and the two guards who are apparently accompanying her, twitchy. Francis, you see Paul finally on his legs, looking like shit, but there he is.
I go over and I just take Alice by the shoulders, just holding you for a bit. I try to look into her eyes.
I have my gaze down in the floor, but when you touch me, I look at you and there is fear and pain in my eyes. And some kind of disbelief. And we stand there, and for me, everything else just fades away, and I look at you, and it's so important that you understand me right now and that you believe me right now. And I say, I am not a monster, Paul. I didn't do it. I didn't do anything.
You see, my gaze is looking at you, but then sort of drifting past you into something else, and you notice that I'm not really there, almost. I nod slowly. Right. But what happened?
There was someone else in that room. I promise it.
Someone here? Someone got in?
No, someone... No, in him.
In him?
There must be footage. Someone talked through him.
You heard the clip, clip, clip of Kituara's high-heeled shoes coming down the other stairwell in blinding speed. She moves up to the three of you. The guards step back a bit. I think you should be made aware that there's been a 800% increase in deadly violence in Croydon over the past 16 hours.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the chronicle No Man is an Island for Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition. Our storyteller was Martin Erickson, and we were also joined by Anna-Karin Linder. The music was created by Lola Zasa, and the sound effects are from the fine folks at freesound.org and Sirenscape. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschaubert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, and Julia for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, death is not the end.